Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And you can also listen to us as a podcast. Just go to EWTN Podcast Central at EWTN/radio/podcast or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I like listening to us on podcasts. So today we have a very special guest with us, and we are thrilled to be welcoming EWTN's first employee to the show today. Did you know there was such a man? His name is Matt Scalise. He served as the Senior Vice President of Engineering and Satellite Operations from 1980 to 1993, in those days when Mother would say, "We don't know what we're doing, but we're sure getting better at it." His late wife, Ginger, also worked at the network here at EWTN in the marketing department. And he went on to help and establish and build the Golf Channel in Orlando, Florida. And his work in television engineering and satellite development is known worldwide. Matt is a father of three and the grandfather of eight. And today he's going to be here sharing with us about the beautiful early days of being here at the network with Mother Angelica and the beautiful relationship that he had with Mother and his family. And, you know, we just did a show about Martha and Mary and Lazarus and that intimate relationship that Jesus had with that family. And so Matt's going to give us the inside scoop of his relationship with Mother Angelica. And I believe he said he knew her when he was 3 years old. So just a little guy, and he knows her. And so, and to think and hope and pray that one day that beautiful nun would become a saint, we pray it.
And this is a beautiful way leading up to the launch, 44th anniversary of Mother pulling the switch and going out in terms of sharing the network, sharing the gospel of Christ with the world. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Matt Scalise. He is known as the first employee at EWTN. And now EWTN has hundreds of employees all over the world. And so we can say that Mother totally embarked on a great faith journey. She was obedient to the Lord. The lover of her soul, cost what it might. Well, Matt, we know that you are full of wonderful stories, and we want you to tell today. But first, we want you to tell our family just a little bit about you, and then we're going to get into all the beautiful stories that you know and that are in the vault of your heart.
Well, I'm so pleased to be here with you two. Thanks for having me into your home. I came to know Mother really. It's pre-memory, right? I was 3 years old when I was introduced to Mother. My parents were helping the sisters locate a spot to build their monastery in Birmingham. They were among the Italian community here. And my mom would be the chauffeur for Mother Angelica and Sister Mary Joseph as they went around town, and we would bury the little St. Joseph statues and pray that God would bless that piece of land. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Mother would come to choose this spot. Mm-hmm. But my childhood was filled with memories. We attended Mass here, and it was quite different because Mass was at 7 a.m. And eventually, in my younger childhood, we would move just 2 miles away. But originally, we had to get up early in the morning, drive all the way out to Irondale, attend Mass at this, I hope it's not inappropriate to say, this magical place. You would walk in that chapel, the sisters would be singing behind the reredos. Mm-hmm. So these angelic voices would be coming out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so my little young faith was formed in those moments where you would walk into a beautiful chapel, a tiny chapel filled mm-hmm. with music, and the monstrance was exposed, mm-hmm. and my parents would drop to their knees, and they would teach me how to do so as well. And this was just a part of my yeah. life. Yeah. This was a normal part of my life. It wasn't the mother that we all came to know. This was Mother, the abbess of a small monastery in the countryside of Alabama. We would come here and buy fishing lures and peanuts, whatever they were selling, we were buying. And my parents, along with many others in the Italian community in Birmingham, would support them. As I grew, this would be the place I would come for advice. As a young teenager, having struggles with my parents, I would come and Mother would be my advisor. So I had that kind of relationship mm-hmm. with her. Mm-hmm. So as I approached my senior year in college, I had majored in communication but saw myself as a singer. And I was driving out to California with my college roommate to try out entertainment. Seems silly now, but it was mm-hmm. pretty serious back then.
You were dreaming.
And so we stopped. I said to my Southern Baptist roommate, we're going to stop by the monastery. We're going to have Mother pray for us on our way out. So we come. We ask for Mother. She meets us in the chapel. And she looks me in the eye, introduce her to my roommate, Ernie, tell her what we're about to do, and please pray for us. And she goes, oh, I'll pray for you. She said, I'll pray that you fail quickly and come back here and work for me because I'm going to build television for the Lord. So you can imagine my roommate like elbows me and is like, what she's praying against us now? And sure enough, 6 weeks later, I returned to Birmingham. I finished my senior year, and that was 1979. Yeah. She asked me to come and work for her, and that's where I started. Yeah.
So when you were sharing, I was just trying to approximately calculate years. Because we know 80, the network's founded officially, 81, we have the launch.
Yes.
But you went back to the 60s, of course, when you were three or four. And then so there was a lot of years there. And you talk about trying to discern where the Lord wanted this place and so on. And that was all before any programming or anything. This was just establishing the monastery. And then you talk about, worshiping, at the chapel there. What years approximately are you speaking about? When that was, the chapel came into existence and so on, approximately.
Oh, well, that would have been around 1963. Wow. And probably my memories start in the mid-60s when I can actually remember mm-hmm. being here. Mm-hmm. For instance, since we didn't really attend a parish, this was my parish, mm-hmm. but I never got to be an altar boy. Right. Mm-hmm. But there were times when Mother would allow me to serve at a mass. And mm-hmm. so this was as a young Catholic boy, you always looked and wondered, you wanted to be a part of mass. And so this was the place where I experienced that. But, Mother, recalling what was going on, she wasn't an evangelist. She didn't even have an outreach. She was here following God's will because of the promise she had mm-hmm. made him in Ohio. So through the history of Mother, you can see her being obedient no matter what mm-hmm. the Lord asked her to do. So she's the one that conceived of building a monastery. That was the promise she made to God. Mm-hmm. She came and fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. Then she was a dutiful mother superior of this monastery for decades before anything new happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so then she says to you, I hope you fail, which was not a blessing.
When you fail.
Didn't sound like
that. When you fail, you come back. And so what did she have you do? Who were you to her?
So Mother had already begun. Obviously, we can't repeat the entire history of Mother's media experience, but she had begun writing pamphlets through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Those pamphlets were being distributed by the tens of thousands, and people were coming to know who she was. Mm-hmm. And she had started recording radio shows in the chapel for small groups of women here in Birmingham. Then she was invited to appear on television. And at some point, while I was still in college, she began appearing on some national shows. Mm-hmm. And Mother had this natural ability. We were talking in the green room. imagine a woman like Mother having a relatively tumultuous childhood, mm-hmm. having committing herself to the Lord at 21 years old and entering the monastery. She never really lived in the secular world like we did. Mm-hmm. And then she was hidden away in a cloister for mm-hmm. 30 years. Mm-hmm. And when she comes out, she has this enormous talent for speaking to the average person, mm-hmm. even though she had not lived their life. Mother had this gift of speaking to the everyman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was unmistakable. And mm-hmm. she had, aside from her deep spirituality, she had this comedic timing.
She did.
Mother would appear on Jim Baker's show mm-hmm. and on Pat Robertson's show. They had hundreds, if not thousands, of people in a studio audience. This woman who was alone with a handful of nuns in this monastery mm-hmm. would go before a massive audience, and they'd be laughing till they cried. Mm-hmm. She knew she had a gift. And as you all know, she was appearing in Chicago when the inspiration struck her, Lord, I got to have one of these. Mm-hmm. Well, that was about the same time that I approached her to pray for me for my success yeah. in California. So I came back, and Mother already knew. The Christian shows loved her as a guest yeah. because she appealed to an entirely new audience, mm-hmm. a Catholic audience. But they were asking her to tone down the Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about the sacraments made them uncomfortable. And it's fine, they didn't understand them.
Right.
But Mother Angelica knew that the media could be a powerful source of faith for Catholics. And that's what her mission became. Mm-hmm. And so she decided to build EWTN. When I came here, we were recording shows on the road mm-hmm. with her. And of course, she influenced me in a tremendous way in those years. I had no idea what was about to hit me in the face about my own faith. Mm-hmm. But but also, she realized, I'm not sure she knew in early 1980 that she was gonna build a network, but it came fairly close thereafter. And so that became our focus, creating some content that would be distributed elsewhere, but also building our own channel. Mm-hmm. And so she would say, and here's, you know, Mother loved the phrase, dodos for Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was very embarrassing. As a 20-something year old.
And that's the last thing you want to be.
Oh, and we were driving down the road. She painted it on the side of the Winnebago that was our production truck, dodos for Jesus. And people would look up and they'd go, what in the world is that even about? And Mother's explanation was, a dodo is someone who doesn't know that it can't be done. Mm. And you know, you just said mm-hmm. in the opening, you know, we don't know what we're doing, but we're getting better at it. Mm-hmm. That was Mother's whole point, is I don't want people who know everything. I want people who are blank slates, who don't know it can't be done. And sure right. enough, she would ask me to figure out how satellites worked. And the Lord would put some extremely smart and generous person in front of me. They yeah. would yeah. help me understand, and then my job was to build that satellite dish mm-hmm. down there.
Yeah, I read somewhere about maybe that person that you're referring to, that he had understanding in this field, and you said, how does this happen? How do you make this happen? Whatever that yes. is, I don't know about engineering. And he said, okay, I want you to do this 30 or 40 or 50 times, and you're yes. gonna learn, you know? That, I mean, that's amazing.
His name was Mike Moody. He was a NASA okay. engineer wow. in yeah. North Alabama. He would drive down here 3 days a week. And my wife at the time wasn't working here. She was working at a retailer, and she had to work nights sometimes. And I didn't like going home at night. So I would stay back with Mike, and he would be drafting the circuits. And I would say, what are you doing? And he would say, here, this is a That's distribution it. Amplifier. Mm-hmm. This is an audio connector. Yeah. Draw this 60 times.
And mm-hmm. yeah. Well, and the beautiful thing about that and being a dodo for Jesus is that, you know what? It makes you dependent on God. Because when we're educated and informed and we think we know it all, we kind of depend on us. Or our training, or our skill, mm-hmm. or our talent, and God's going, nah, I want this to be organic, so that when something really good happens, everybody can say in unison, we had absolutely nothing to do with right. that. To God be the glory, right? And that's the mm-hmm. way Mother lived. And even all of her sisters, I mean, they would give testimony to that also. When did you know, my gosh, this woman is anointed, and this network is anointed?
So there were so many moments. Of course, the great majority of time, there was uncertainty, mm-hmm. right? And I think, again, you just said, that's what God wants of us. What need is there for faith if you can always see the path? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't show us the path. And I think when you're faithfully following the path, occasionally God will put his hand on your shoulder and say, yeah, keep going. Mm-hmm. And so these moments would happen. I have dozens, but of course there's not enough time to tell them all. I'm going to tell the most important one, and I hope they have the photograph I'm about to refer to. During that 1980, 1981, when we're building this, and we don't know how in the world we'll find the money to do it all. Mm. Sometimes we were a day away from running out of money. And Mother would fret over that. And, you know, I'll talk about Mother's courage, but Mother always taught me courage is not never being afraid. Courage is having fear and overcoming it, right? Yeah. Trusting in God. Mm-hmm. Your faith helps you overcome fear. So Mother had fear of failure, but she wasn't going to let it deter her. So she was upstairs praying with the sisters. They were very concerned about the money. And Sister Regina, who was the first nun to commit, who was a Birmingham resident, she just passed away in the last 2 years, came to her and shared that she had had a dream. And she thought it might be a vision. And she explained to Mother and the sisters that her vision was this enormous satellite dish, which she had never even seen a satellite dish, but now they had come to see some pictures of them, this satellite dish, and coming from the dish was a flame, a fire coming out of the dish. And she said she heard the Lord say, "This is my son's network, and it will glorify him." And so Mother took that in as a moment. You don't know whether it's a confirmation or someone having an interesting dream. Well, that was the week that we were assembling the dish. And down there, it's huge. It's 30 feet in diameter. It's a massive satellite dish. And once it was erected, there was a crane there we'd been using, and a couple of us were taking rides on the crane. Mm-hmm. And my brother sat in the sling, and the crane lifted him up above the dish, and I took a picture. And I took many pictures.
Yeah.
And when I went to the
picture,
this is what came out. Now, I had not heard the story from Sister Regina, but as soon, you know, I took it to one of those 24-hour developers. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. So I drive right back to the monastery, and I take my photos into Mother, and I'm like, look, I was taking a picture. That's my brother hanging from the crane. Mm-hmm. I said, look at this. Look what happened.
That's beautiful.
And this, and Sister Regina, like, fell to her knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, my God, that's what I saw. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no real physical explanation for why that photograph had a flame coming out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't capable of making
Matt, we're going to take a break at this point. You can continue telling the story. When we return, we're going to hold you over for the final segment. This is my son's network, and it will glorify him, more or less. That was the phrase. Mm. And that was very moving, you know, when you said that, recalled how that came about. I may have heard that before, but it's just like, wow, that's really of the Lord. What a great privilege to be any part of it, that we get to sit at that table of what God's doing for whatever time he calls us to do it. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're going to wrap up our conversation with Matt Scalise, and I know that you were enjoying it as we are. Well, Matt, how did Mother's life journey and being here at EWTN impact your faith journey?
You know, as I mentioned, she was such a personal part of my life, and I feel so privileged today. Sometimes we wonder if I'd only known then, you know, how great things were going to become. Maybe I'd have taken more advantage of it. One quick anecdote that your viewers should know. In 1980, when we were just beginning to build, Mother came down and said, I just learned something new about St. Clair. She's a poor Clare nun, Franciscan nun. We're like, what is that? She goes, St. Clair is the patron saint of television. Mm. We're like, what are the odds of anyone being the patron saint of television? You'll have to look up the story. It's documented. Mm-hmm. She's actually the patron saint of television. But, you know, as it affected my own personal spirituality, I would say being in the presence of someone who was so faithful to God's calling, who was willing to take risks, who was willing to fail, who was willing to do ridiculous things. As you know, one of her favorite sayings was, we have to be willing to do the ridiculous so that God can do the miraculous. Mm-hmm. So she almost reveled in people making fun of what she was about to do. And I think in my own life, she's given me courage to do things that I would never have imagined because I believe in God's providence, in His gifts to us. I believe that Mother has made me a better Christian, a better Catholic, and a better man because I have known her.
Mm-hmm. That's beautifully said. Excellent. And you know, it doesn't end the call of Christ on our lives. I'm amazed, you know, to read the scriptures that Jesus says, will you follow me? And then He doesn't say it once. He says them at different points in their lives, will you follow me? I would have said, you've asked me that question. I have, but He said, no, now. And that was the same thing with Mother all the way till the end. Mm-hmm. You know, there was always another call. Will you deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me? Will you go into that which you do not know now? Will you follow me? You saw her do that. You have to do that, wherever you are in your life. We have to do that. Yeah. We have to persevere to the end. She was a witness to that. Mm-hmm. Thank God we have you back for tomorrow to share further. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll have Matt back on tomorrow, so don't miss this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ Network. His fire is coming forth from this place. No one should lay hands on that, just to give thanks that we could see it and be touched by it, that we get to sit at the table that the Lord has set. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.